does every week, Chip Kelly, joins us for some film work here, Coach. And let's take a look at some of these plays here, because there's a chain reaction to every one of these plays that a lot of things have to take place correctly for the big play to happen. Mm-hmm. So let's just take us through some of the elements of this screen to Brent Celek.
Yeah, we're running a screen. They tried to play us in a lot of man coverage. Mm-hmm. Obviously, screens are beneficial when you're in man coverage. If you can block the guy that's responsible for somebody, then you think you get an opportunity for a catch and a run.
So let's just take it. Bryce Brown's in the backfield here. You sent him in motion here, Coach. I think just the speed that he comes out of here with right here takes this linebacker out immediately. He's running with him because he sees the urgency that he leaves the backfield with.
Everybody's got to assume that they are going to get the ball. Mm-hmm. So Bryce does it. The other thing it does is it unveils the coverage for us, so the quarterback knows when someone runs with it, it is man coverage.
Right.
You know, and so what we understand now in man coverage, we want to get the ball back here, mm-hmm. but we need to block the guy that's responsible for him. And that's what the screen concept is all about right now.
There's also, before we get to that, Coach, I just think, you know, the spread concepts that you have. I mean, when Bryce comes out here and this linebacker leaves, there's four defenders out there on the other side of the field here that mm-hmm. are worried about what you've got going on, whether it's bubble, whether it's wheels, or whether it's, you know, man routes, whatever out here. It really takes four defenders right out of the picture.
It does, and part of the concept of being a spread offense is let's take this field as 53 and a third, mm-hmm. and let's stretch the defense to cover the entire field. You know, when you're playing those 21 teams or 22 teams, and they're packing everybody in the box,
yeah.
they're not utilizing the field. We're trying to utilize the field from a stretch standpoint so that now, even if we were to throw the ball to, say, Jason, mm-hmm. he's in open space. There's not a lot of people around him. You know, so the concept of the spread offense is to spread everybody out so that we create bigger lanes for us to run through.
Make him play in space. So the guy that you're isolating here is Perry Riley, the linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because he's man-to-man right here on Brent Celek. So you know that when you call the play, helps to have your all-pro tackle right here free, mm-hmm. being able to go pick him off right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we try to do on all screenplays, and we talk about forming a sidewalk between the hash and the numbers. And so what happens here is Jason's responsible to kick out. Kelsey's responsible for this side of the sidewalk.
Okay.
Todd Herriman's is responsible for the back part of the sidewalk. And then we're going to try to insert a guard through the middle of it. So when you watch this, especially from behind, you see how it expresses itself. There it is right there. That's mm-hmm. perfect.
Yep.
Is that Kelsey's kicking in, Jason kicks out, Evans through the chute, and Todd took care of the backside. And when you watch it from behind, you'll see where Jeff Mail's doing a great job out here at the wide receiver spot, keeping his corner off. And then Evans coming through for any garbage, any leakage. If someone were to fall off a little bit off of Kelsey's block, or if we had some fall off here, Evans kind of our cleanup guy. So it's a perfect picture of he's on the outside. We've got it sealed here. Here's a protector here. Harriman's finished it on the backside. He's our ambush player. And obviously the one thing about Brent, just the effort that he plays with, and that's kind of what we're preaching every day. But when you see it on film, it's a great example of he's a guy that's bought 1,000% into everything we're doing here, is in physically the best shape of his life, and it's showing every day on the field.
Coach, I think, you know, one of your favorite plays down here in the goal line is just basic inside zone. But mm-hmm. I just thought it was interesting that Perry Riley here takes that course right here, mm-hmm. thinking that this quarterback is very capable of doing that, which he did mm-hmm. during the game. But when he jumps out, this is going to open up this hole. Now, there's a lot of other things. Jason Peters and Zach Ertz are going to clean up here. You're going to get tremendous blocks here, angle blocks, mm-hmm. where you're going to take Kelsey and Wright Mathis are going to take their men into the end zone.
Well, we could read it. If we did have edge pressure, then Nick now has an answer, because it's either give to LeSean, edge pressure now, he can read it and pull it, and now we have a guy to pitch it to.
Mm-hmm.
So this is more of a give or pitch as opposed to a give or keep.
Okay.
So that Nick doesn't have to run it in from this standpoint. So if we got some edge pressure, we have a way of handling it. When the linebacker came out of the box, we knew we were going to get a good seal here. We also know when the linebacker comes out of the box, we're not getting edge pressure.
Right. Shady will take that 1 yard untouched plunge and
coaching standpoint, now, he cheats the drill at the end of this, and we talked about this in the meeting. He throws the ball over the goalpost.
No, there's no question. Yeah. It's like what me and you would do, Coach, if we ever get that high. As long as we throw it, it looks like we just missed the dunk.
But he didn't. We talked about it in the meeting. He didn't dunk it. No.
Now, the hand clearly is not over the goalpost.
He just touched the rim. He didn't dunk it.
Do you think he has enough hops to dunk it?
Oh, he can. I told him he's weighed down with 25 pounds of pads. I think in a normal basketball game, there's a lot of things he can do athletically.
What was the unanimous team response to that, Coach?
They were with you on that? They kind of sided with me on that one.
Okay. All right, Coach, this is the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different elements. First thing I wanted to ask you, Coach, is just the coverage, because I see Carmichael up here. He's got a man turn, so he's man, and you got a double here on Garcon, and that's the first look at RG3, and you take that look away. But what's going on in the middle right here, Coach, that you can kind of tell us a little bit about?
Well, we're in man coverage, but we're not in zero man, so we've got help. So to the single receiver side, we can double the single receiver. So we hopefully we've canceled this read for RG3 on this side. And now it just depends on how these routes express themselves.
Because this is a third and one situation.
To where he can fit. But the other thing you want to do is you want to be snugged up on third and one so that a quick throw doesn't beat you. So
they're going to get this. They're going to get two quick outs right here. RG3 is going to go one here, two, and he's going to go three. And he's going to run it off. But really what Boykin does is he's kind of free right here to fit it.
Brandon has this receiver on any in-break. Safety has him on any outbreak. So as he breaks out and we bracket him, now Brandon becomes a free player. And that's why he's allowed to get his eyes back. The guys that are in man aren't going to get their eyes back to the quarterback because they need to plaster and stay on their guys. But as this happens, Brandon now turns into the free player and the football player where he can read his eyes and now fall back in and make that play.
Well, he's now looking for work. Because he's now you've taken the reads away. So now he's kind of freed up to be a football player right here. And so we'll get to the pressure part of this. Now, whether he's throwing this ball away or not, I mean, this is the second interception in the end zone in back-to-back weeks for Brandon Boykin because he's alert, his eyes are in the right place, and he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, the first thing that happens, though, which is awesome on this play, is Trent Cole. When he goes to set his feet to throw the football, you watch Trent walk the tackle back, so he now has to flush. And that's where Fletch has to now come into play. But the biggest thing that happens to kind of disrupt RG3 to start is watch where Trent on the drive block, watch him now set his feet, and now he's flushed. Because any good quarterback feels that. And I know sometimes people talk about Trent, well, his sack numbers. His pressure on the quarterback's been outstanding all year long. And these are the things that don't go into any stat book, but you understand how he can affect the game, is that he forces this guy that way. And now here comes Fletch off a double team, playing with great effort, probably played his best game to date this week. You know, had an interception, had six tackles. Now here comes Fletch coming off because Trent made the quarterback flush to him. And now the two guys having great feel for each other is that if he flushes him, he's coming to me. If Fletch had flushed him, he was coming to Trent. But we're squeezing and trying to contain. We're in a situation where Connor's reading him in case he flushes out because he's obviously a very athletic quarterback.
Almost in a spy-like mode
so that we know where he is in terms of running it. But I think because of what Trent did here, allows Fletch to come off the double team and make the play on a quarterback.